So I don't know about you guys, but this has just been one of the gnarliest, craziest, whatever. I have a son, Peter, my youngest son, Peter, dad's baby. I love my son, Peter. He has two precious grandkids. I have not seen him in 2 years. They live in Australia, in the middle, Alice Springs. Can't see him. If they come see us, they can't go back. My family, I got half my family thinks, go get the vaccine! Woo! The rest of my family says, oh my God, where's your faith? Are you kidding me? I mean, it's like I feel like I can't win. Do I wear the mask? Do I not wear the mask? Am I riding my bike? Do I put it on? Do I take it off? What do we do? I look at our church, loving one another, Cambria. We got all these people that are isolated. Cambria is the weirdest place in the world to me. And I'm from Paso. You know, I lived in Paso a long time. Pastor Roland's, they drive around in their pickup truck. And, hey, how you doing? You having a good day? No, 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 no. Okay, I'm sorry. These people that drive Priuses sometimes here in Cambria, there's like, they're driving their Prius. They're saving the world. They're like, and I think like, okay, what are we, like, we gotta help, we gotta do something, we gotta be joyful, somehow we gotta, like, be the body of Christ, let's help somehow. So I think, like, okay, Lord, what do we do? Like, what do we do? What do we do? Well, I think he's the only answer. I think Jesus is the only answer, more of Jesus, his kingdom come, his will be done, that's it, that's what we got. You know, we have this awesome church. Gary, I'd say the most brilliant thing Gary ever did. You know, like if you're this leader, you're supposed to get this, you get the elders together, you get the financial board together, you get the servant leaders together, and you say, we're going to craft a motto. And then by the time the 400 of us are done with that, it looks like, well, our motto, love God, love others, help others do that too. How perfect is that? It's the Great Commission. It's Matthew 28 in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's Matthew 28 in 9 words, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. So that's our hope. Our hope is let's be disciples. Let's be disciples ourselves. What can I do with me, right? My precious wife, Susan, she's done a lot of 12-step work. It's been amazing. In 12-step, they have this thing that says, sweep your side of the street, right? You sweep your side of the street. That's what you do. You don't try to tell the other guy, hey, you got dirt on your doorstep there. Let's fix that. No, you like sweep your side of the street. So that's what we're going to do. We want to do that. We got to be disciples. So the question for us today is how do we be better disciples, love God, be better disciples? How do we love others and help others do that too? Be disciple makers. How do we do that? Well, I'm saying to myself, who was good at making disciples? Duh. Jesus. Jesus was good at making disciples. Was there a disciple who was like especially a huge knucklehead that like he worked hard on? Simon Peter, yeah. Okay, so let's take a look at Peter. Let's take a look, and I relate to Peter because, God, I love Peter because Peter is just like foot and mouth disease. Rick Euler, there you go. It's like not I'm like Peter, but Peter lives in Bethsaida. Bethsaida is in Galilee. Now Galilee, they talk about the Sea of Galilee, but that's kind of deceptive because it's not really like a sea. It's not like salt water. It's a lake, right? It's this big freshwater lake. And I'm sort of futzing around here because I can't find the next page. Anyway, not a professional. Remember, there it is. I got it now. I got it. It's right there. Freshwater lake, right? Got the Golan Heights, you got Mount Hermon, snow, all that stuff comes down into the Sea of Galilee, big freshwater lake. It's just a temperate lake, so there's a bunch of fish. I mean, who knew this? We fished it out. But I was thinking about this. There was a time when there was this gigantic commercial fishery in Lake Tahoe. So you can have, like, before you overfish it, you can have a ton of fish in a freshwater lake. So So you got Sea of Galilee, you got the Jordan River, right? So you got Sea of Galilee, Jordan River. Down here, you got the Dead Sea. The reason it's dead is because the water doesn't go out. The water stays there. It gets all salty. Anyway, so Peter's got a partner, his little brother, Andrew. They've got two other partners, James and John. And James and John's dad taught them how to fish, and so did these four partners. Now, why they cared about John the Baptist, you know, baptizing down the Jordan River, I got no idea. Well, like, they must have had a great rabbi in Bethsaida. They had a tradition of loving God. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why they did this, but one weekend, they said to themselves, hey, selves, let's go check out this, some dude wearing camel's hair and eating locusts. Like, who does that? Can he afford fish? Let's go see what it's all about, though. So they get in there. I'm thinking, duh, we got boats. They get in their boat. They row across down to where the outflow of the Jordan River. Then they get their bags and they walk down. They find John the Baptist. And people are getting baptized. People are repenting. John said, repent. Turn from your wicked ways. They're repenting. And Bible doesn't say this, but I'm just figuring, like, okay, these four guys are interested. They care about it. I'm figuring they probably got baptized too. Like, if you took the weekend, rode across the Galilee, marched down the Jordan River, wouldn't you get baptized? Would you guys get, okay, come on, show of hands, who would get baptized? You went to all that trouble. Okay, Summit, Dan, you're right. There's like, are there slack? They just don't want to raise their hand, I think. It's like too much trouble to raise your hand. Yes, I'd get baptized. I'm just not raising my hand. This ain't middle school anymore. Okay. So they go down there, and it just so happens that Andrew, Peter's little brother, Andrew, is sitting next to John one day, the day after Jesus gets baptized, and John says, psst, Andrew, behold the Lamb of God. Andrew says, the Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God. Like, you mean the Messiah? Yeah. The Lamb of God. Andrew goes, the Lamb of God. I gotta tell Peter. So he takes off, he finds Peter, says, come on, Peter, come on. You gotta meet the Lamb of God. I found the Messiah. In John chapter 1, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John said. First thing Andrew did was go find his brother. We found the Messiah. He drags him to Jesus. Come meet Jesus. Here comes Andrew dragging Jesus. Jesus looks down at Peter and says, you are Simon, son of John. Simon Bar-Jonah, you shall be called Cephas, which translated means Peter. You shall be called Peter. Can you imagine what that was like? Okay. I just came to be baptized by the guy with the camel hair. And now you, my brother tells me the Messiah, and now you are telling me I'm not Simon, I'm Rocky? Rocky? Okay. So then they go home. They said, okay, great, this is fun. Bible says they go all march back up the Galilee. There they are. Now, something happened with Peter because Peter, the next thing, like when Amy said, do that. Do what Amy said. Go through the Bible, go through those Gospels in one shot. It really changes how you see it. So Peter invites Jesus to come to his house. Simon Peter. Let's call him Simon still. He comes, come have some dinner. Jesus comes in the house and looks and sees Peter's mother-in-law's sick in bed with a fever. He walks over, puts his hand on her, says, fever go. The fever goes. She pops out of bed, starts helping serve dinner. Well, okay, that doesn't happen every day. No. And then later that night, they say, you know, they fish at night. You guys ever driven down to San Luis at night and you look out there at Cayucas and you see like these big banks of lights out there. There's like, you get squid or I don't know what they're fishing for, but you know, lots of people fish at night. So these guys fished at night. So they get done with dinner and they got to go fishing, right? So they're out there fishing. They're fishing. And, you know, like fishermen talk about stuff, right? Because like, what do? If the fish aren't biting, if they're not getting in your net, you got to talk. And so they're talking about this stuff that happens. Dude, did you see all those people getting baptized? Did you know what? Did you see last night at dinner? The guy walks into the house, walks over the bed. All he did is touch my mother-in-law, and she pops up. She's healed. Well, and then from the other boat, James and John go, "Hey, dude, that ain't nothing. Did you hear about what happened in Cana?" "No, what happened in Cana?" "Well, there's a big party in Cana. There's a big wedding." "Okay, yeah, so." "Well, so they ran out of wine." "Uh-oh." "Ran out of wine? Sucks for you." "Now, bad thing to run out of wine. Big party, run out of wine, not good." So the deal is that Jesus was there. His mom dragged him along to the wedding party. They ran out of wine, and she said, "They ran out of wine." He said, "So what?" She said, "You help." So Jesus goes over and tells the servants, "You see all these big jars? Fill them up with water." Yeah, the servants fill them up with water. "Now take some out and give it to the head steward." So they dip it out, take it over, give it to the head steward. The head steward drinks it, and he says, he calls over the bridegroom. "Dude, what is the matter with you? Don't you understand how this works? These people have had a lot to drink. They're not going to know that this is great wine. It's the best stuff that you had all night." And everybody, the party goes on. So they're talking about this, but you know what? Like sometimes when you fish, even if you're a professional fisherman, Peter, Andrew, James, John, professional fisherman, you didn't catch anything. So the night's over, they drag their boats ashore, they're tired, they're tending their nets. Now the Bible says they're washing their nets. Like, is there like Phil? Maybe Phil knows this. You got a net. You got fresh water. It's not like it's salt water. It's fresh water. Why do you have to wash your net, especially if there haven't been any fish in it, making it fishy? But anyway, the Bible says they're washing their nets. Okay, they're tending their nets. And then Jesus is there. Jesus shows up. There's this big old crowd around him. Everywhere he goes now, there's this crowd. There's this crowd around him. And Peter's there. They're tired. They're washing their net, tending to their nets, rolling up the nets. And Jesus climbs in the boat. Peter's thinking, "What's the dude in my boat? Okay, you thank you. You healed my mother-in-law. Good for you. Now you're in my boat." And Jesus says, "Peter, Andrew, come here. Row me out a little ways so I can speak to everybody and they can all hear me." Okay. So they row him out. "This good?" "Yeah, it's good." Throw out the anchor. Now they're going to sit and listen to what? Like, they don't got anywhere to go, right? Jesus is in their boat. They can't go home and go to bed. They can't do anything more with their nets. They're just listening to Jesus. And you know what the Bible says that Jesus talked about? Like when Paul talked all night and the guy fell out of the window? You never know what Paul said. You just know the guy went to sleep and fell out of the window. Doesn't say. We don't know. Telling people to repent, the kingdom of God is coming. Telling them, I don't know, stuff that was important because they stayed and listened. When Jesus was done, he looks at Peter and says, "Okay, Simon, row out into deep water and put your nets over the side for a catch." Peter says, this is what Peter thinks. He thinks, "Dude, you're from Nazareth. Nazareth is not on the Sea of Galilee. It's inland, a day's walk. You are a carpenter. In fact, I don't even know if you're a journeyman carpenter because they always say that you're the carpenter's son. So shouldn't you stay in your lane?" This is what Peter's thinking. But what Peter does is more important. Peter says, "Okay, master, because you say, I'll do it." So they row out into deep water. They let down their nets. And this incredible thing happens. They catch more fish than they have ever caught before. Andrew and Peter are about being pulled into the drink. There's so many fish. It's going to swamp their boat. So Peter says, James, John, come here, guys. Come, get out of here. Get out of here. You got to help us. There's so many fish. So here come James and John rowing out there, help with their nets. They get their nets. They fill in the boat with fish. And all of a sudden, guess what? There's so many fish in both boats that the water's coming over the gunwales. The boats are almost going to sink. So they go, okay, let the rest go. Let them go. And then Peter stops. And he says, he looks at Jesus. Jesus is there smiling or something. And he says, he falls at Jesus' knees. He falls at Jesus' knees and he says, Master, go away from me. I am a sinful man. I don't want to taint you. Go away from me. Jesus looks at Peter and says, fear not. From now on, you will be a fisher of men. So, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they paddle ashore. They haul their boats up. They push their boat full of more fish than they have ever caught in their lives at once. The Bible says this. They haul their boats on shore. They follow Jesus. Now, I'm pretty sure that this other thing happened. I'm pretty sure that Jesus said, Jonah, come here. Come here, Jonah. Listen, Jonah. Sell all the fish. James and John's fish, Andrew and my fish, sell them all and pay the guys. Pay yourself. Take half the rest of the money and give it to James and John's dad. Take the rest and give it to my wife. Tell her I love her and I'll see her soon. I'm following Jesus. Now you think about this amazing thing. Jesus knows the end from the beginning. Jesus knows Peter, James, John, and Andrew cannot just pack up and leave. It's not like they have, you know, it's not like they have 7-Eleven around the corner and that, yeah, you know, we're just going to put it on the debit card till you get back or something like that. That's not the way it works back there. They caught so many fish that Peter, in good conscience, as a good, loving husband, could leave his, probably wasn't a problem to leave his mother-in-law, but could leave his wife, could leave his mother-in-law, could leave his kids, could leave Andrew's family, James and John, they could follow Jesus. What an amazing God we have. So a couple days later, they go back to Capernaum, and they go like, they listen to Jesus, he's in these synagogues, he's doing his preaching thing, And they're there. They're listening to it. They're watching it. They're seeing this stuff happen. People are healed. Demons are driven out. This is like, oh man, this is amazing. Now, in his heart of hearts, yeah, this is all amazing. I'll tell you what's amazing. What was amazing is our boat's completely full of fish. I don't know so much about demons. I don't know so much about sickness. I know about fish, and that was a miracle. That was a stone miracle. So he's sitting there, and it's got crowded now because there's people following Jesus everywhere now, and all of a sudden, dust starts coming down from the ceiling. And they look at each other and look at Jesus like, what's up, man? Dust's coming down from the ceiling, then chunks of ceiling plaster, stuff come falling down. The guy whose house it is going, hey, dude, this is my house. What are you people doing? And then this hole opens in the ceiling. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And down comes this dude on like a stretcher, on ropes. He comes down on a stretcher. Now, in this gathering, because Jesus has been doing this amazing stuff, there are these Pharisees and teachers of the law and the synagogue leaders and stuff, because they're religious professionals. They need to check this out. So there they are checking it out. So here's this paralyzed guy. He lands in front of Jesus. Boom. He's paralyzed. He can't move. And Jesus looks at him and says, Friend, your sins are forgiven. Now Jesus knows perfectly well what's going to happen because he knows what these guys think. And they all think, who alone can forgive sins but God? Who's this dude think he is? And Jesus says, what's easier? To say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, pick up your mat and walk home. So you will know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Pick up your mat and go. The next day, a couple days later, they're going to some town named Nain. Have no idea where Nain is, but in the town of Nain was a widow. She had one boy. Everything mattered about that one boy, right? That means she has just one child and it happens to be a boy. And back then, you know, there's no Social Security back then, right? There's not any life insurance. There's nothing like that. If you don't have a family and you're old, guess what? You starve. That's how it works. You die because nobody's going to feed you because everybody's in a bad... So this widow's kid dies. So they're going to Nain, and out comes this procession. You know, everybody's crying and stuff like that. Jesus just walks up to the casket, you know, to the guys in the grave cloths and all that, and he says, "Hey guys, young man, get up. You're good." And up comes the kid. Her son, who's dead. He was dead, not just kind of dead. Like, not the Princess Bride. Oh, don't worry. He's just mostly dead. No, this was dead. This isn't something Miracle Max is going to take care of. This is stone cold dead. Up comes the kid. And Peter's thinking, I got a new name. My mother-in-law got healed. I caught more fish than I've ever caught. He turned water to wine. He forgave sins. This guy's paralyzed, and then he walked home. And now this guy was dead, and now he's alive. A couple days later, here it comes. Jesus says, okay, we're kind of done with this side of the lake. I want you guys, we're going to row over to the other side of the lake. The other side of the lake, they're not good Jews. Do you know how we know they're not good Jews? That's right. See, religious professional, Pastor Daniel knows they raise pigs. Pork. Quink, quink. Not good Jews. Somebody else, but not good Jews. Anyway, they get over there. There's this demoniac who's just going crazy, who's screaming at Jesus at the top of his lungs. What do you want to do? What are you doing here, Jesus Christ? Why have you come to torture me before the time? And so finally Jesus says, what's your name? He goes, Legion. There's many of us. And he says, being the good Jewish boy that he is, says, look, go into the pigs. So 2,000 pigs, can you imagine? 2,000 pigs is a lot of money. It's like the whole town's, it's not like some rich guy named, you know, Ezekiel or something owned all the pigs. This is like every little family's pig. They all run down into the lake, die. There go the pigs. The people tending the pigs say, dude, you got to go. But these people are going to be mad at you. You got to get out of here. So they get back in the boat, go across the lake. As soon as they touch the lake, somebody says, there's a little girl that's sick. Guy says, my little daughter's sick. Could you please come heal her? Could you please come? And so there's a big crowd around. Jesus, off they go, marching to go to the synagogue leader's house because they got a little girl they got to fix. And all of a sudden, Jesus stops and says, who touched me? And Peter's like, what do you mean, who touched you? There's 100 people around us pressing in on you. What do you mean, who touched you? Like hundreds of people have been touching you. And he goes, no. Power went out from me. Who touched me? Well, he healed this woman. She said to herself, if I just touch him, I'll get healed. Boom, she's healed. Just about then, the servants of the guy run up and go, hey, don't bug the master. I'm sorry, but your daughter died. Jesus says, don't worry about it. Just believe. Goes to the house, raises the little girl up. She's alive. Now think about this. Think about this. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they're just starting to understand about spiritual authority. They've seen him do this amazing stuff, things they know about, things they're experts in. He has shown things they never understood, never thought could happen. He goes off for hours by himself to pray. They've seen him drive out demons, raise the dead, calm storms, change water to wine, forgive sin. It's like, what can't he do? What can't he do? And then Jesus says, guess what, boys? James and John, you're going to pair up. Peter and Andrew, you're going to pair up. Nathaniel and Matthew, you pair up. James and Judas, you pair up. Okay, now we got six sets of pairs. Okay, so here's what you're going to do. You are going to go out and proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Don't take anything for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there till you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town, shake the dust off your feet, a testimony against them. So, what do they do? Did they all say, no, you know what? We have not passed second base yet. We've been to first base. We haven't taken the second base class yet. It's not to put down our classes. Our classes are great, but that's not what they said. They went and did. These guys went and obeyed. They went and did. So they set out, went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Do you see this amazing thing about Jesus? Jesus teaches, he shows, he models, he goes off and prays, he's kind, he doesn't get drunk, he's not going to the cantina, he doesn't overeat, he doesn't say bad words. This guy's pretty close to perfect. He's still fun to be with and stuff, but he just doesn't do anything naughty. He doesn't. He's self-controlled, and he's modeled this stuff for us, and guess what? Now we're going to do it too? And they do. They go off. They preach the good news. They drive out demons. They heal people in Jesus' name. They come back rejoicing. They come back, this is amazing. Hey, Lord, this is amazing. Does he let them get all big-headed? No. He says, hey, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Just rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But let's go get some rest. So off they go to their favorite little retreat place, right? Everybody got their favorite retreat place? Oh, yeah, no, I forgot. I'm sorry. I forgot. You're not written. Do you guys raising your hands out here? If I say, does everybody have their favorite little retreat place? Yeah, see, look, the outside people are raising their hand. Okay, everybody got a favorite little retreat place? Okay. Anyway, they get to their favorite little retreat place, and guess what? Everybody now has heard the news. Everybody in the whole area of Galilee knows about the water turned to wine. They know about the catch of fish. They know about the kid from Nain that's raised. They know about the demoniac across the lake, the 2,000 pigs down in the water. They've heard it all now, and so they all come flocking to where Jesus is. And you got to think it's kind of a bummer, right? Like, when I'm ready for vacation, if somebody says, guess what? You ain't doing vacation, you're doing more work. That's not big on my list. So Jesus teaches these people all day long. There's 5,000 men and their families. And when the evening comes, he says, look, guys, I want you to feed them. And they go, are you nuts? We don't have enough food to feed these people. And in fact, in the Gospel of John, Andrew drags this little kid over and goes, hey, this little guy has lunch. He's got 5 little barley loaves and 2 fish. Jesus says, okay, fine. tell everybody to sit in groups of 50. He looks up to heaven. He thanks God for the barley loaves and the fish and the little boy that's willing to share. And they feed everybody. They pick up 12 basketfuls of leftovers. And then Jesus says, okay, you guys, hey, you did a great job of listening. You've had a nice dinner. Now everybody go home. Go home and do what I told you. Share with your neighbors. Repent. The kingdom of God is coming. Godspeed. Have a good trip home. Now, I don't know if that's what he said. That's what I would have said. And then he says to the disciples, okay, boys, we're going to go back over on the other side of the lake, so go ahead and get in the boat and go. Well, okay. Well, the 12 of us are going to get in the boat and go. How about you? What do you mean? What about me? I can take care of me. You get in the boat and go. So they get in the boat and they go and they're rowing and they're rowing and they're rowing. The Sea of Galilee is wide, you know. It's a long row. So they're professional rowers, professional fishermen. They're rowing and rowing and rowing and they're all talking. They've had like 9 hours to talk about where's Jesus. And just before sunrise, here comes Jesus walking on the water. Now, like, okay, wait a second. Nobody walks on water. You get fish out of water, you drink water, you swim in water, you drown in water, you put out fires with water. Here's what you don't do. You don't walk on it. Jesus is walking on it. Now, this is the most amazing thing to me. This is why I want to be like Peter. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus says. And Peter got down out of the boat. Could you imagine? Think about this. We don't know that Peter knows how to swim. Peter's been on this lake his whole life. He climbs out of the boat and puts his feet in the water and came toward Jesus. Now, Jesus must have been a distance away because as he's walking, he's like looking at the wind, he's looking at the waves, and he goes like, what am I doing here? Am I crazy? I'm not Jesus. And he starts to sink and he goes, Lord, Lord, save me. So Jesus reaches out his hand, saves him. Immediately they get to the boat. Says, you have little faith. You have little faith. Why did you drown? You have little faith. Dude, there's 11 guys that stayed in the boat and I at least got out. How about that, you know? Now, Peter had a long life. And you're hungry. And I know what it's like to be in your seats and to be kind of going, it's about 20 of, let's wrap this up. So the next thing that happens, the next big thing that happens is they're off by themselves. It's just like us. If we want to get away, we got to go away, right? Even though we live in this beautiful place, if we want a vacation, we got to go away. So Jesus takes these guys away and he asks, who do you say that I am? Who do people say that I am? And they say, oh, John the Baptist, Elijah, and one of the prophets. And then Jesus says, but how about you? Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock, now the rock is not Peter the rock. The rock is that Jesus is God. On this rock, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You are Peter. He gave him a new name. Now, this Peter, he goes on and does a bunch of other dumb stuff. You know, he cuts off the servant's ear, the servant of the high priest's ear. He denies Jesus. He does amazing things. He does amazing things in Jesus' name. So the question for us is, how did Peter cooperate with Jesus in becoming a disciple? What active steps did he take? So think about that with me for a second. Stop here. Take 30 seconds and think about, how did Peter cooperate with Jesus? What did Peter do that helped him become the person that said this? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never spoil, perish, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Clearly, Peter spent time with Jesus. He sacrificed. He left his family to spend time with Jesus. He listened to the words of Jesus. He was immersed in the Word of God, the living Word of God. And Peter obeyed. Peter obeyed. Paddle out into deep water. Put down your net. Take this five little barley loaves and these two fish. Feed these 5,000 people. Go preach the kingdom of God. Anoint people with oil. Drive out demons. Peter obeyed. He removed himself from the world he knew. He was willing to go to another culture, a new thing. Peter didn't quit. He took risks, he trusted Jesus, and he received a new identity. We have a new identity. We're no longer citizens of this world, we're citizens of heaven. We're sojourners in this world. So Jackie's going to play a song for you right now. It'll be our closing song. During the song, would you think about this, please? Would you think about this? Clearly, Peter was comfortable in the boat. He was comfortable there. He stepped out of the boat. He took a risk. He stepped out of the boat. He stepped out of his comfort zone. What is the Holy Spirit? What is God asking you to do? Where's your comfort zone? Where's your safe place that you need to step out of to serve God powerfully?
To go farther, so he stepped out on the sea. Yeah, he stepped out onto the sea. If I keep my eyes on Jesus, I can walk on water. Oh yeah. If I keep my eyes on we'll be right back.
like Peter, I want to a father. Tread on the sea and walk on the water. Step where he steps and go where he goes. Side by side when the sea billows roll.
Let's pray. Almighty, ever-living God, King of kings, Lord of lords, help us, Lord. Help us. Help us to be like Peter. Help us to have courage to ask what to do and then to do what you say. Now receive the benediction. Lord, bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.